Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah, come on. Fields, he's got through. 35, 30. Broken intercepted. Touchdown, Giants.
And we welcome you to Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. So glad you could join us as we'll recap the victory over the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, 24-10. We'll also get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. Plus, you can chime in on Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat. And we want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. So a lot to delve into over the next hour. It was quite a performance, Jeff, for the defense yesterday. The goal line stand is one play that certainly jumps out.
Yeah.
They got the takeaways with Prince Amukamara and Devon Kennard. A very active, opportunistic performance by the defense.
Very physical performance by the defense, and one that they needed. They needed this. Road win, get the season back to 2-2. I think that the demeanor of the team was there. You talk about toughness. You look at Ereck Flowers, what he did yesterday coming out of the game and then coming back in. I think that this team, and we said it here on this show, that winning cures a lot of ailments. And I think that now this team is playing with confidence. I believe that they can, you know, they feel in their mind that they can compete with anybody. But right now it's just, you know, the next game, and that's San Francisco coming up on Sunday night. And but, you know, we're here to talk about the game yesterday. And I thought that the defense, if there's a play that can put you to the next level as far as confidence, it's a goal line stand in an away game in a hostile territory in a stadium that's really, really loud. That pretty much sets the tone. And sometimes like that, a play like that can really catapult a team to the next level. And you're hoping that that's what the Giants defense is doing. And Lance, you know, we talked about this on the postgame show yesterday, is the fact that, you know, Steve Spagnuolo, we all kind of understood what he was trying to come in here and do. And this is to revamp this defense that they couldn't stop the run last year. Certainly they have done that. They've proven in the last four games that they can stop the number one rushing attack back-to-back weeks with Washington and Buffalo. And they went out there and set the tone. And really, what Spags is doing with this team is week by week, he's inserting a little bit here, a little bit there. The return of John Beeson has been immensely needed. You can see not only his leadership, but his on-the-field command for the defense, putting guys in the right places. And then you have DRC in the corners playing well, getting turnovers. Great game for the defense. You know, I can sit and talk all you want about the offense, too. However, I will say with the defense, we have to understand that it's not all great. There are some things that the defense still has to do in order to be a good, good defense. And in my mind, a couple of them is you got to get pressure on the quarterback, okay, and you got to be a better blitzing team. Steve Spagnuolo's defense is predicated on blitzing and getting after the quarterback. We have seen none of that yet. And so that's one part that when the coaches are looking and they're talking to the players, they're also wanting them to understand that, hey, guys, yeah, we did play well, but we got a lot of things to work on.
Two sacks for the Giants yesterday, so five now in four games. Obviously, that's at the bottom of the rankings. You
sure
mentioned,
is.
Though, a lot of opportunistic plays, and you mentioned also the fact that they did stop the run. And based on the updated rankings, the Giants now have the number one rushing defense in the NFL. They are surrendering just under 70 yards per game, and they held the Buffalo Bills team, Jeff, that came in with the number one rushing attack, as you mentioned, over 150 yards they were averaging per game to just 55 yards on the ground. And Carlos Williams, who replaced LeSean McCoy, came in leading the NFL with over 7 yards per carry,
yeah,
and he had just about 2 yards per carry yesterday.
Big play ability out of that kid, big, you know, bruising runner. And, you know, you kind of ask yourself as you watch the game, how is this defense able to stop the run so well? And it comes down to a couple things. Number one is that these guys play their technique correct, and they play and they're disciplined in their lanes and what they're supposed to do. Even though you don't make the play, you are graded on each play. And if you're in the position you're supposed to be in, you get a positive grade. So I think if the coaches are looking at the defensive line and what they were doing, not only that, the linebackers, they're in the right positions. And we talked about this, too. is that if you look at the stat page and you look at the linebackers, they were high on the list for tackles yesterday, which tells me that that defensive line was doing what they were supposed to do. They were engaging the blockers, trying to get off of them, but the linebackers were able to come up and fill and make some tackles. So.
Well, I think you hit it right on the nose, Jeff. The play of the linebackers is a huge difference that we've seen over the course of the first few games, and it was interesting because Landon Collins spoke after the game, and one of the things he mentioned that he thinks the turnaround to the defense based on last season, as we have a little movement here on the table here, you're messing
Delay
around
game.
With the football here.
Delay game. As if
there weren't enough penalties in yesterday's game here.
Well, where's our T, see?
There oh, the T's missing. Is that what the case is?
Yeah, they probably borrowed it for the game.
You know, this is what happens when we let the inmates run the asylum here. But anyway,
sorry about that.
Back to the point. The linebackers, in terms of gap integrity, I think that has been so key. And Landon Collins spoke after the game. And if you go back to the drive in which Buffalo got it to the one and the Giants had the goal line stand, Kennard made a couple of plays. Kerry Wynn made a few plays. JT Thomas, DRC, they were able to make the stop on Tyrod Taylor, Carlos Williams, excuse me, on that last play at the goal line stand. But Robert Woods, who got a 3-yard gain on 2nd and 5, Landon Collins made the tackle. And he spoke to the media after the game, Jeff, and he said, you know, that wasn't even my assignment. But I noticed Woods was in the flat. It was a dump off. I was still in position to make a play. And that's what it's all about, the mentality that, you know what, let me give the extra effort to perhaps go above and beyond the X's and O's.
There you go.
You heard Tom Coughlin talk about a lot.
Also the maturity of a young player. I mean, in his fourth game, a regular season, you know, he didn't play four preseason games because he was hurt in the preseason. But that just goes to show you that this young man is getting better and the game is starting to slow down a little bit. But making the plays above the X's and O's, and that he noticed that there was something wrong and that he took it upon himself to get and make a play like that, huge play. And that whole sequence of those four downs down on the goal line, there are a lot of guys. It wasn't just one guy on each play. It was a different guy. You know, it was Landon Collins. It was Kerry Wynn. It was JT Thomas and DRC. I mean, it was just a lot of different guys getting in the action down there. And that play reminds me of years ago we were down in Washington, and we had a goal line stand. This is in our 2007 season that we went to the Super Bowl. And, you know, that series right there really put us apart and kind of catapulted us to the next level, like I said. And those, it's kind of hard to understand, but reality is that those types of plays can make an impact on a season, just one play. And the other thing, too, Lance, that I was impressed with what this team is starting to do. And the last couple weeks they're doing it, you know, really they've been doing it all season, is that, you know, they're starting to make plays. And when we talked about the games that they lost and not being able to finish, I saw in the fourth quarter yesterday, offensively, it could have done some different things. They had some drives that stalled. You know, Will Ty drops a pass. They had some procedure problems.
Yeah.
But from a defensive standpoint, they're finishing because they're making some plays, and that's what helps. And those kind of just stack on upon each other. You're looking at it on film, and it really builds the confidence of these guys. It really does.
Well, they're making plays in the fourth quarter.
That's my point. Yeah.
Yeah. The goal line stand, the Rashad Jennings play, the Prince Amukamara force fumble, force recovery. You know, those are all late quarter plays that seal a victory.
And offensively, they had a 3rd and 3. It was a blitz, and Rashad Jennings and Eli were on the same page on a little check down dump off to Rashad Jennings, and he scampers, you know, 50-something yards, which was the play of the game. I mean, at that point in time, you know, the game is 16-10, I believe it was, and, you know, in the fourth quarter, and talk about Tom Coughlin wanting somebody to just make a play. Make a play. Well, that's a huge play in the game right there. Huge, huge play.
Especially since, you know, as you noted, Jeff, the offense wasn't doing much of anything leading up to that drive.
Well, they certainly came out in the second half and the third quarter and did nothing. I mean, we were all scratching our head going, oh, no, here we go again. And, you know, you cannot let – when you're on the road, you can't let the crowd get back in the game and momentum. But the Giants got that momentum back on that fourth down stop, and I think they took the crowd out of it. And then, of course, it was the straw that broke the camel's back was that it was the Jennings run for a touchdown, and that pretty much took the wind out of their sails. And then, you know, that play on 3rd and 8 in the red zone, wanting to score a touchdown to put it away. You know, I know we're going to probably get some calls on that, but, you know, it all depends on, you know, did Eli have a chance to get out of that play if it was called? Maybe he was in another play and called that play. I don't know. I'd be interested to see what Eli had to say about that. But bottom line is that's a bad pick down there in the red zone at the end of the game. I mean, if you can just run the football there, perhaps, and then put another field goal on the board, your three-possession game with less than however many minutes was left in the game.
That was his first pick of the season. He went 142 pass attempts without an interception, so that's the best start of a season for Eli Manning in his career. And Tom Coughlin spoke about this during his postgame presser, and you and I went into this on the radio postgame show yesterday because a lot of fans calling in wondering the decision-making. You know, Tom Coughlin told Ben McAdoo, I want to punch it in. I want to go down the field. I want to score. On a 3rd and 8, you know, the easiest way to get in the end zone is to put it through the air. The question is, like you said, did they check out of a play? Was there an opportunity to throw the ball away?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a variety of different things that certainly you could break down within that.
Well, you got to give some credit to the cornerback who really, you know, he read the play. It was
Stephon
a very
Gilmore.
Good play. And so these guys get paid to make plays, and that corner, for I don't know who it was, for Buffalo made a great play.
Yeah, it was Gilmore actually
Gilmore.
Made the play.
Yeah.
He was able
to
get right in front
Happy
of
Gilmore.
Yes, Randall to make the interception. One other thing I wanted to expand upon before we get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513. The reason why that Jennings play was so big, and it's probably the one defining play in this contest, leading up to that play, the Giants had 4 offensive possessions, 3 3-and-outs, just 2 first downs, and they had 3 penalties. So they had more penalties than first downs in the 4 possessions leading up to the one that led to the Jennings touchdown. On top of that, Jeff, remember, the narrative of this game changes. If Dan Carpenter makes that 30-yard field goal, if they don't make the goal line stand, you know, we're talking about perhaps a 6-point game
at that
right
point.
When the Giants have the ball.
Yeah.
All
and
of a sudden, momentum swings either way at that point.
Exactly. And you know what? But that's just the ebb and flow of the game. And fortunately for the Giants, what happened. And you look at the Buffalo Bills, they lost this game a couple different ways. One, they lost this game on penalties. I mean, they had 17 penalties. And that's just, you know, I think it was the second most in team history. And also they had 2 touchdowns called back because of penalties, a missed 30-yard field goal. And then you got the 2 touchdowns that were called back for those penalties, you had 15 other penalties on top of that. So, you know, you had a boneheaded mistake by the special teams on Buffalo by lining up Mario Williams ahead of Zach DiAssi, where you're not allowed to do that. And I don't understand how he could line up that way, because you don't line up that way in practice. You don't line up in the games. And I just don't understand how the guy can make such a mental error. And, you know, it was a bad snap. And, that was another big.
Well, and that was a huge momentum swing, because the Giants could have settled for a field goal. Instead, they then continue the drive and score a touchdown.
They score a touchdown on, was that the Reuben Randle
that
touchdown?
That was the Reuben Randle touchdown,
so, you know, so you look back, and that's the story of every game. If we dissect it and we analyze it, there's plays that guys make, and there's stupid mistakes that other teams make. Fortunately for the Giants, they were on the right side this time, where previously in the first 2 games, they made some dumb mistakes and lost those games.
And the Giants took advantage of some of those mistakes.
Well,
so
that's,
not only does the team have to make the mistakes, Jeff, but you have to capitalize off of
those
mistakes.
They got points off of those mistakes. So,
that was big.
But great game. And, you know, now I struggled, and I did not make it last night to watch the Dallas game until the end. But first thing I did this morning, wake up, tried to turn on ESPN. I just went on my phone, saw that I went straight to the standings. Didn't even look at the score.
I just went
straight to the standings and saw Dallas sitting at 2-2. So, and in this division now, it just goes to show you, in my mind, that if you look at Dallas without Tony Romo, you look Washington's with Kirk Cousins, and you look at the way the Eagles are playing, they have a good quarterback, but he's certainly not an elite quarterback, in my opinion. And then you have Eli Manning, who, you know, some people will put him as elite, whatever you want. This division, if you've got a good quarterback and you're able to win some games like the Giants did this yesterday, this division is up for grabs, and there's no reason why this Giants team can't think to themselves coming into the building today, sitting tied for first place, that they can win this division, because there will be no wild card out of this division. You're going to need to win to get in.
Welcome to the wide-open NFC East. 4 games in, and it is wide open.
And that's, you know what, after starting 0-2, that's all you can ask for. Really, as a player, as an organization, you're at .500, and the first quarter of the season, you split 2-2. Maybe you go 4-0 the second quarter, because that's how Coach Coughlin breaks it down, by the way. He breaks it down in quarters.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the schedule, and you kind of you be honest with yourself, okay, this is going to be a tough win on the road. We should win this one, you know, and you kind of get an idea of what it should be. But the next four games, you look at them, you got San Francisco, Philly, Dallas, and New Orleans. You got four NFC opponents and two in the division. So it's going to be a good, you know, good stretch there with the NFC opponents.
Well, and even if you take it a step further, Jeff, San Francisco all the way through Tampa, November 8th, the Giants, they're playing teams who have 500 record or less. The next time they play a team with a winning record is going to be New England on the 15th. Now, standings are going to change over these weeks, but
yeah.
The bottom line is it's a favorable schedule, at least on paper, with what lies ahead leading up to that New England game. And the key is the Philadelphia game on Monday night and then the Cowboys game back here at MetLife Stadium, because obviously that's an opportunity to build some distance between yourself and your division rivals.
And three out of those five games are on the road. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, you know, the word here today in this building is we're on to San Francisco.
Opportunity ahead.
That's right.
That's what everybody's saying, certainly in the NFC East. 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow. So glad you could join us for Monday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Let's open up the lines. Maurice gets us going in New Jersey. Maurice, what's happening?
Gentlemen, good morning.
What's up,
morning
bro?
To you, Maurice. What do you got for us?
I'm doing pretty well. Listen, man, I was very, very pleased to see this team go on the road and make a statement like that. I believe Buffalo going into that game was 83% in the red zone. Is that correct?
Yeah, they were atop the standings, rankings, I should say. I actually have the specific numbers here. I believe they were in the 80s.
They were number one in the National Football League outside the red zone scoring touchdown, by the way.
They were very effective in terms of balance. But to answer your question, Maurice, the Bills coming in, red zone offense, 5 of 6, yeah, 83%, second in the NFL entering yesterday.
Nice. But listen, I was watching this team, and I was just thinking to myself, this team, on the defensive side of the ball, I'll start first. Steve Spagnuolo, he not only brings a scheme and a certain defense, but it's a mentality when you play for him. Because I've been a longtime Giants fan, and so I remember like 08 and 07. And I'm not trying to say this team is those teams, but it's a certain mentality. And like John Beeson was saying, I think, in one of his interviews, he was like, listen, man, you just buy in on relentless and, you know, fly to the ball. This team, the way we stop in the run, third and six and third and five, you know, if we can get a pass rush, I mean, you know, we're looking at, you know, people can consider us a good defense. I think we still are a good defense, but, you know, that's one thing we're lacking. And I'll switch gears over to the offense. I think without a doubt, you know, Eli had a few, false starts and things of that nature, but he really controlled his game because he was going up and getting us into the right plays and, you know, making his checks. And let's be honest, that defensive front for Buffalo, they're a top-notch, you know, type of defensive front, and we was running that rock. And they had Williams in too. They said, yo, we're going to get physical and put our physical back in, and we was getting to the second level. And I was impressed, but like you guys mentioned, the second half, it was kind of slow a little bit. But all in all, you know, this team, they came out, and we were on the road. And, you know, with Coughlin at the helm, you know, keep preaching the message, and these guys keep buying in. If we can somehow get a pass rush, you know, who knows what to expect. But I'm going to leave you guys with this. I'm going to ask you guys a question I want you to answer. So here's the deal. I'm going to name a player, and you have to give me a one-word response concerning that player. Like Eli.
What is this, word association game here? Yeah.
Like, you get what I'm saying? Eli, then you say, oh, consistent. So kind of like that. I'm going to give you a few players, like maybe two or three. Kirk Flowers.
Tough.
I was going to say the same exact thing.
Okay. Marshall Newhouse.
Grinder.
Prince Amukamara.
Competitive.
Opportunistic.
Last one, Devon Kennard.
Beast.
Active. Yeah.
Hey, he sure is, man. I think those players, man, that I just mentioned, you know, we need everybody, but those are some guys that stuck out to me, and I believe that they fit exactly what you guys said, man. Thank you guys.
All right, Maurice.
Appreciate the call.
Time, man.
You
have
got
a great rest of the day.
You as well. Thanks so much for joining us. One of the things he did hit on, Jeff, and you brought this up even yesterday when we were breaking down the game, the offensive line as a whole did a really nice job yesterday. And Maurice just mentioned, you know, this was a very tough, fierce front seven they went up against. Manning was sacked once. The running of the ball was not something that jumped off the page, but they had 28 carries for 92 yards. They stuck to it, at least, throughout the course of the game.
Well, they knew that they were going to have to run the football at some success. But however, you know, the yards per carry, when you divide that up, it's got to be 3.5, 3 points, something like that. Not the greatest thing you're going to get. However, it's effective. So when you're trying to run time off the clock and you're running the football on first and second downs and you're getting into those third manageables, as we say, you know, it makes things a lot easier. One thing that Maurice had mentioned that yesterday when you saw in the first half particularly, when Eli was up at the line of scrimmage, he was making protection calls, changing plays. What that does for you is that the defense on the other side, they have to commit to what they're going to be doing because they don't know if the offense is going to snap the football. So they get into their defense, and that's what was happening with Eli. He had those guys, the Buffalo Bills, getting into their defense early. Then he'd back away, and he'd change the play. So, you know, that's kind of what tells you when you have a quarterback like Eli Manning that you can have the confidence to be able to have him running as like an offensive coordinator on the play. Now, what happened in the second half? Well, the Buffalo Bills got smart, and they started to disguise some things, and they changed, and they made adjustments. And you didn't see that happen, and particularly in the third quarter, you saw this offense start to sputter a little bit. So, but it's a chess game, back and forth, back and forth. Then you get into the fourth quarter, and now it's trying to close and win the game. And that's kind of some of the things that happened. But, you know, to your question, Lance, with this offensive line is that, you know, these guys took an attitude that, yeah, these guys are good on the other side. But and I even read some tweets out of these guys this week saying after the game that, you know, listen, we're getting better. They said that we were the worst offensive line in the league, but we're getting better. And so they believe that. And I think that this really goes to show you that they believe it in their mind going up against a defense like the Bills this week, that they could prove and they can play with anybody.
You know, it's funny when you talk about Eli Manning and his ability to make changes at the line. It reminded me of the last play of the Saints-Cowboys game last night, and the Saints won it overtime. Drew Brees saw that the Cowboys lost one of their linebackers due to an injury. He had to come out of the game, so they brought in a guy that played maybe one or two snaps in his NFL career. He saw that the entire defense was out of position, so Brees dumps it off to C.J. Spiller. He beats his man, and he takes it to the house.
Right,
so those are the types of things that veteran quarterbacks pick up on, Jeff, that maybe an unpolished young guy may not see.
They're not going to do that. That's because, you know, how many – Drew Brees has thrown 400 touchdowns in his career. Eli has won 101 games in his career. This is experience, and this is watching film for years and years and seeing the way defenses play. And then, you know, we always hear it or see it on radio or TV that when one guy goes out of the lineup, you know, the commentators, they always say, well, you know, so-and-so is out of the lineup. I bet that Eli goes right after him.
They target
him, and they target him. But I think that knowing your personnel and who you're going up against, sometimes you can't target that guy because he's pretty decent. Even though he may not be playing, but he might be their best nickel corner and comes in. But in that case with Drew Brees last night, he saw a weakness in the defense and he exploited it. And by God, they won the game on it.
Let's head back to the phone lines. Andrew is in New Jersey. Andrew, what's happening?
What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Billy Martin, Steinbrenner, former Rutgers coach that was the coach of Tampa Bay, Soriano, I think his name is.
Soriano.
Soriano. You got a lot of Yankees on your mind, apparently.
That would be Schiano.
Oh, yeah,
but
Schiano.
That's okay.
Schiano. The reason why I bring all that, it was the worst in my life. I remember the last caller said 2007, but I remember back to, I would say, like 1979, and that was the worst couple series of play calling that I've seen easily in 40 years. It's almost like it's not real. It was so unbelievable. And Pisarcik fumble, any one play, like Billy Martin would have fired the offensive coordinator if he was the owner and benched the running back for not falling down. But first, it started with Beckham. He threw that deep ball to Beckham, which is just one bad call. But I know, too, they're not expecting a deep ball, but they just should have thrown a short pass to get a first down. Then when they had the Bills get the penalty and the Giants were first and goal, I said, I saw that they could still get a first down before they kick a field goal, and I said if they could take a knee three times and they would have to use their timeouts three in a row and then kick what would be shorter than an extra point field goal, and then the other team would get the ball and they would have to score two touchdowns and a field goal, or two touchdowns, two extra points, get two onside kicks. So it would be nearly impossible, and they threw a pass. Eli could get injured. That's where the Tampa Bay, the odds of Eli getting injured kneeling is almost impossible, and he threw a pass, which is intercepted. He tried to make a tackle. He might rip his knee up. Romo's out. It was just incredible that they would
You wanted him to take three knees. You wanted him to kneel down three times? Is that what you wanted him to do?
Either kneel or run, just hand to the running back and instruct him, don't fight for extra yards where you're going to get the ball stripped when they have you upright, and definitely don't run it out of bounds. Rashad Jennings was led out of bounds. He could have just fell down before they got him out of bounds. So either run the ball, and you might even get a touchdown smashing it up the middle, or take a knee and kick the field goal, and the game's over. Like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And if I was the owner, Mara, I would take a meeting, and I would bring Coughlin and Eli and McAdoo, and I would have them explain what happened. Why didn't you run the ball? Why are you having Eli risk our multi-million-dollar two-time Super Bowl MVP quarterback?
Well, Andrew, they did run the football. I remember on first and goal, they ran it with Rashad Jennings. He wound up losing a yard, and then they passed it twice because obviously they were facing an eight-yard situation where they wanted to still potentially even pick up another first down to milk a clock. And remember, you're up by two touchdowns then. I understand you laid out, you know, all of the worst-case situations, but you're up two touchdowns. There's just over 340 left in the game at this point.
You're not taking knees at 340 left in the game.
Run the ball. Hand it to the guy.
They ran it once and they lost a yard. So, yeah. I mean, obviously the best way to pick up 8 yards is you got to throw it under those circumstances. You could argue on second down three times in a row and you lose a yard
each time. It's still like a 20-yard easy field goal, so those aren't even bad plays, even if the running back just falls down. But I would you know, they're just lucky that Billy Martin is not the owner, because McAdoo would be fired. I would even ask Eli, why is he going along with those plays? I would have it explained to me. And the running back, I would have him inactive, Rashad Jennings, next week, because he should have had the sense to fall down.
Andrew, you are aware that Jennings made the biggest play of the game, too.
You're going to make him inactive next week. But you're going to make him a good play,
but they were also bad.
You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Andrew Sr., he's here.
All right, real quickly, we're getting the father and son dynamic duo here. What do you have for us, Andrew Sr.?
Good morning. Listen, Preston Parker, did anybody pick him up then?
No,
he's still a free agent.
Good. No, I wish Dallas would pick him up or Philly so that he could screw up for them. Okay. Go Giants.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Andrew. Thank you. Okay. Right. Lovely. Moving along here on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
We appreciate every call. We really do.
Yes, we do.
We appreciate the time to call in. And sometimes it's hard to follow, but we got our...
Well, Abdul is going to have that task in Minnesota. Abdul, welcome aboard. Yeah. You can follow up on that.
Yeah, I'll try.
Yes.
It was great finally seeing a complete game on both sides. You know, somebody made a play on offense to put the game away, and the defense finally made stops. There are a bunch of three and outs, the goal line stands. They finally made a stop when it counted. And it was great seeing the Giants not running negative plays. You know, a lot of the plays weren't, you know, huge plays, but the Giants were very rarely in long third and 10 situations all game. They were moving the chains. They were staying positive.
They were running the football.
Yeah. And they weren't huge carries, but they were positive. You know, there's a statistic in there, we can probably find them out.
But sorry to interrupt you, but you know what their average was on first down on runs. You know, I mean, not going to have it there, but you know, it's interesting. Sometimes you can see, you know, when they ran the ball on first down, what was their average per carry? Was it 4 yards? Was it 6 yards? I would venture to say that first and second down carries were over 4 yards a carry, because you're right. They were getting into really not a lot of negative plays and getting into third down where it's third and three, third and four. It's a lot easier to call plays for 3rd and 3 and 3rd and 4 than it is 3rd and 12, 3rd and 13.
Well, Abdul, before we let you continue, I have some numbers in front of me that I think help emphasize your point. In terms of the third downs that they faced yesterday, they had 7 downs for 5 yards or less. They had 6 for 8 yards or more. That did include one that was 27 yards because of multiple penalties. But, you know, to have 7 for 5 yards or less out of your 15, that's just about half, which is manageable. And then if you look at their running plays, they had 9 runs for 5 yards or more, including 2 for 10 yards or more, and they had 7 for no gain or negative yards. However, I'll throw 2 out because they were manning kneel downs. So
okay,
really,
yeah.
You
right.
only had 5 for no gain or negative yardage in terms of their running attempts.
It's refreshing.
Yeah.
The one thing that I think, you know, we've all mentioned is the lack of a pass rush. I think if we play, you know, when we play good quarterbacks, that comes back and it really bites us. But the good thing about that, we don't have many good quarterbacks left on our schedule.
You're looking over there. You got you got San Francisco, who hasn't done very much. It's not like we're going to be going up against Peyton Manning and every week here on out or whoever.
We have Brady in a month or so. That should be interesting. Hopefully, you know, we'll get a pass rush back by then, because that guy Whitlock. What an eye-opener. You know, him and
he's amazing,
yeah,
right?
Him and 72. What's that?
He is amazing.
Keto Whitlock. Guy plays every single position on his team.
I understand maybe he can't play, you know, 15 plays because he's so small, but they pick his spot, and he is just whirling dervish out there.
His spot
you know?
Is
he
at the end
plays.
Of the game. His spot has been at the end of the game. He comes in. He's got fresh legs. And those defensive linemen who have been pounding it all day, they get a little bit of break. And here comes this little spark plug, man. And,
they can't stay in front of him.
Yeah, they fly around.
I've been pounding Reese pretty hard. And I think, you know, for good reasons. But I got to give him credit getting this guy win as an undrafted free agent. He is also just.
Yeah, had a great
game. He's had a good run the past few days, the past few games.
Well, he played really well at the end of last season when the season was over, and they were going to start to get a lot of young guys in there to see what they could do to try to develop their roster next year. And then he went into preseason, the off season. You know, we talked about it kind of in our off season, Big Blue Kickoff Live. That guy, he is in the building every single day. He's a hard worker. The coaching staff loves him, and he's got a high motor, and he's making some play. He made that play on that fourth down on the goal line stand down there on third down. He made the play.
Yeah, he pushed Taylor out of bounds.
He ran him down as a defensive lineman. So you like to see him.
I have one question more for Jeff as a player.
Yeah.
There's certain teams you play, no matter what your record is, you kind of throw the records out.
Yeah.
And I see the Niners, Giants like that. For some reason, they always play as hard.
They do.
Also the Eagles. The Eagles, too, give us headaches, no matter what their records are. Why is that?
Well, I just think, you look at the way the Giants have played the 49ers. I swear, it seems like they played them every year the last 10 years, isn't it? I mean, they play them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, the division games, and these guys, they play them twice a year. They're watching them play on tape a lot because, when they're playing another division opponent. So they see them quite a bit. And so the games become very competitive, and there's always just a little bit of a rivalry effect in there. But that's the reason. I mean, we know the personnel, they know each other very, very well.
Okay, so that's what it is. Because, you know, I was like the Niners. Ooh, the Niners are an easy game. I never see them as an easy game. They always – something always happens in a Niner game that always –
Well, Abdul, keep in mind, San Francisco's had one of the best defenses in the NFL over the last few seasons.
Sure, and I think that, you know, they're in a little bit of turmoil themselves down there, and it just goes to show you – I mean, really, you may hate the guy or love the guy. Most people hate him, but John Harbaugh – is a pretty darn
hell
not
coach.
John. I mean, Jim's
brother.
It's a pretty darn good coach. And so
I'm a Wolverine fan, so I know.
They fired the wrong guy in San Francisco. Yeah. As far as I'm
totally.
You know, but you being a Wolverine fan, you got to be happy for that because they turned it around.
Oh yeah, I
up
love
there.
Him. You know, he's like Shen Beckler Jr. I'm psyched about that.
Well.
All right, guys.
All right, Abdul.
Take care.
You got it. Appreciate the phone call. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. We want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Let's head back to the phone lines. Emilio is in Florida. Emilio, what's happening?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Lance. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Doing good.
What do you have for us?
Yeah. Wow. The offensive – oh, by the way, 3.6 yards a carry, I believe it was, and – I don't know who said
okay.
something about not playing a good quarterback, but Tyrod Taylor was, I believe, the third-rated quarterback in the league as far as completions and quarterback
rating. After 3 games. But
yeah.
He was up there. No, you're right.
In
terms of passer rating and in terms of completion percentage, Emilio, you're right. Tyrod Taylor was one of the highest-ranked quarterbacks in the league. As Jeff mentioned, it was a small sample size because he hasn't been a starter prior to this year, but they were very efficient as an offense.
But the offensive line, oh, my God. The offensive line is coming together, guys, and which we played arguably one of the best defensive lines in football. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to point out three, which I think will come to be three defining moments to our season. The first one, that touchdown catch by Harris. The second one, that goal line stand. And, of course, the third one, that touchdown by Jennings. It's just like Victor Cruz against the Jets. I think you will see that these are going to be defining moments because that touchdown catch by Harris just opened up. And the way we ran the ball down the middle, it was crazy after he caught that touchdown.
Well, I think that, you know, in my mind, you see a lot of the touchdown passes to Harris. You know, every week you're going to probably see a touchdown somewhere similar to that. The other one is, you know, the run by Jennings, you know, or actually the pass by Jennings. It was a pass, a 51-yard pass. I mean, that's just wanting to make a play. I mean, he sidestepped a guy and then ran down there and just gave him the atomic elbow. And, you know, he just wanted – remember he said, I wanted to make a first down. Well, he was way past the first down.
Absolutely.
And but really, to me, that goal line stand, as I said earlier, that can define – it can be one of the most defining moments of a season to catapult the team forward. And certainly it happened Sunday, which was outstanding. And, you know, you don't get those many opportunities during a season to make a goal line stand. Maybe once, twice, three times at the most during one season. And
yeah, and I was watching that play, and that's what I'm saying. I'm like, make a play. And one more thing, I'll tell you something, that I remember when you were on that team in 2007, they're flying to the ball, Jeff, the defense. And that reminds me of every time we do that, we go far in the playoffs.
Do you remember the play I was telling you about when we were playing in the 07 season in Washington, that goal line stand where Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
That really, I mean, I'm serious. That made our season. I mean, guys on the defense were flying around, and they knew that didn't matter anymore. So,
yeah, you know what else I remember? I remember that hold, the hold you did against the Packers.
Yeah, me too. I'll tell you what, I was scared to death.
Thank you for that. Thank you. And I'll listen, you guys. I love talking to you. I'll listen. And, Jeff, remember I told you the defense was coming on, baby.
All right.
I'll listen to what you guys got to say. And, you know, why can't we get Welker? Talk to me about that.
All right, Emilio. Well, appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Listen, we can't ever talk about personnel stuff on the show. You know, it's just it's out of our hands. Why do you want Welker when you just defined one of the most defining moments you've ever had in the history this season was Harris scoring a touchdown? What do you need Welker for?
Well, I mean, I think a lot also depends on Victor Cruz
now.
It's a big question mark. I mean, we don't know what Victor Cruz's status is going to be, at least even for this week, let alone moving forward. So we'll probably know more. Tom Coughlin's going to address the media a little bit later on. And Victor Cruz even said at the end of last week he's going to undergo further evaluation. So I think they need to see where Cruz is at in terms of the new rehab process before perhaps they move forward.
And with Welker, you know, I mean, he's had this history of concussions, and it's no secret. And I think that's why nobody has him on the roster right now. It's because you take the chance to get him, you sign him, you do all that stuff, and he gets hit and he's out. Then it's a tough situation. I mean, obviously he can play, he's in shape. Coach Coughlin said he was impressed with his workout and all that stuff. But it goes one step further in trying to the safety of the player and if a team wants to take on that type of responsibility. Really.
Well, and putting those two players aside for a second here, Jeff, I think the big positive is in the last two games. Reuben Randle has stepped up, and that was something that this team was looking for. He didn't have a monster game yesterday, but he got in the end zone. He made plays. Somebody outside of Odell Beckham. Remember, Beckham's drawing the attention, so the one-on-one matchups that occur on the opposite end of the field, players need to win their individual battles.
Right.
Randle made plays. Harris made plays. They're also utilizing all three running backs, and they're moving the ball. We talked about how it was a lot of positive runs as opposed to moving backwards, which had been a trend in previous seasons. So that needs to continue. As long as that continues, I think there's enough weapons where even if it's one guy each game,
a different player steps up,
you at least have a mix. But the players right now on the roster, Jeff, they know the offense. As opposed to bringing somebody in, remember, who hasn't been in training camp, you need that adjustment period. That's not going to happen overnight.
It really is up to these guys that are on this roster. That's your team. They just, you know, collectively, every one of them has got to play better. And even though, you know, you're winning games, you still got to play better. We have yet to have a game where we can sit here on Monday morning and talk about from the tight end position. I mean, we're waiting for that. The team is waiting for that. Eli's waiting for that. So, you know, we're seeing it out of the other positions. We're seeing it out of the running back position, the wide receiver, the offensive line. We've got to get more production out of the tight ends. And, you know, really they've been beat up. They make the trip without two of their starters. They bring up, you know, the Will Tye from the practice squad. He drops a crucial pass on third down. So, you know, things like that can improve, definitely.
Let's head back to the lines. Tom wants to talk about the offense. Tom, what's happening?
What's up, Tommy?
Hey, how you doing, man? My point of the offense, we've been winning the games, and even all four games, the offense has done pretty well, and it's gotten better, and the line has improved and all of that. The thing that bothers me more than anything, and I've been watching and following the Giants since my father and I used to listen to them on the radio when Emlyn Tunnell was playing, is the frenetic nature of this particular, of the way that they're running the offense now. I mean, Eli gets out, and he gets out there, and he's got to call a play. He's got to set everything up at the line of scrimmage. Yesterday there were at least, if I remember correctly, three delay of game penalties. He never looks comfortable. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't complete the pass, doesn't complete the play. But he just doesn't look comfortable because he's moving around, jumping around. I don't think he gets as good a read on the defense as he could get. What happened to the old days when you went in the huddle, you called two plays, you come up, you go to the line of scrimmage, you pick one and go? Well, I would like to see that. Well, I would like to see that for just maybe a couple of series, you know?
It's tough because, you know, these defenses, particularly in the coverages, they disguise coverages so well. You know, they might be in what we call a cover two or zero, all the different coverages that they have in the backfield. Yeah. And if you got a play and the play says, okay, this play in your mind against cover two or cover one or whatever it is doesn't work, you're not going to continue just to play it. You just got to make adjustments. So I think it's an advantage that the offense has.
I'm not suggesting.
I know you're suggesting.
He doesn't make adjustments at the line. I'm suggesting that the whole sequence is called at the line, and it's just – it looks frenetic to me, okay? That's what
okay.
I'm saying.
What else you
and,
got?
And it, huh?
What else you got, Tommy?
What else have I got? The defense is looking great. Spagnuolo, I think they finally have gotten Spagnuolo's philosophy down in the last two games. They had a little problem early on, just like back in, was it 07 or 11?
Yeah, 07,
when was
the
it?
First two games.
07?
Yeah.
Yeah, lost the first two games by 56 points or something like that. And from that point on, it was great.
Sure.
I mean, he did a great job. And I think I like to think that about that year because we know how that ended. So, at any rate, I needed to get rid of that.
Hey, we're glad you called and got rid of it.
Hey, that's the point of this show, to air it out.
What?
No, I said that's a big part of the show. It's for the fans
to
air out
there
questions, concerns, and so forth. Certainly appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for weighing in.
Thank you, Tom.
You know, a lot of people all of a sudden want to compare 07 to what's occurring this season, and we've talked about this a great deal. I think what's important to take away, Jeff, as opposed to the exact comparison, because the personnel has changed, the players have changed, just the nature of game-changing plays and what that could do from a mental standpoint. I think that's probably the biggest takeaway from 2007, as opposed to they're going to follow the exact same script moving forward.
Well, what's missing from the 2007 and the 2015 defense is the fact that 2007 got after the quarterback. I mean, you guys like OC and Tuck and Strahan, I mean, that team could sack the quarterback. So the comparison of those two are out the window. I think that when you look collectively at how these teams are, the 07 and the 2015 team are coming around, I think that Spagnuolo is getting – he's trying to get the best out of each player. He knows what these guys can do and what they're capable. And then he doesn't ask more out of them. He just, this is what your skill set is. I'm going to put you in a position to make plays. And they're getting turnovers. They're getting turnovers, which defensively for any ball team, that is important. So, you know, you can make the comparisons, and hopefully, you know, by the end of 2015 and they win the Super Bowl, you can compare the two teams and say, yeah, this is how that team started and this is how this team finished. But right now, you know, Steve Spagnuolo, he understands conceptually what this team has to do. And like I said earlier, Lance, the formula to this defense is to get pressure, and right now that's missing. They got to do something about it. I mean, this, you can't go through the whole season, you know, getting five sacks in four games. It's just not – it can't happen.
They're stopping the run now in order to complement that.
Yeah.
Is to get to the quarterback. But I think the two most notable turnarounds, and it's still a small sample size, it's only four games, the Giants at the end of last season, 30th in stopping the run. They're right now number one.
Yeah, they flipped that.
That was a big turnaround. Also, turnover differential, minus two last season, now they're plus six through
big
four
time
games.
Big
eight
time
takeaways, just two turnovers. So they've protected the football, and they've been very opportunistic. Let's head back to the lines. Jeff is in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's happening?
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How you doing today?
Doing well, Jeff. How's everything with you?
Good, good. Very very pleased with the win yesterday. I thought it was a pretty well game, pretty well played game overall. I got to say that that Mario Williams for the Bills, he did his best impersonation of Joe Turkey Jones sacking Terry Bradshaw that I've ever seen, man. That was that was really something.
Well, I think he's watching a little too much wrestling,
Lance, but it's on YouTube if you care to look it up.
Well, I thought you were going to make – Jeff, I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were going to make some wrestling reference. I'm a little disappointed.
No, no.
I mean, you stuck to the NFL. I thought maybe a wrestling –
the only thing missing was
better
the chair. You could have hit the guy across the head with the chair.
The barbed wire, the steel cage match or something.
That was
Joe Turkey Jones picked up Bradshaw and dumped it right on his head. It was just very eerily reminiscent of that play. But, yeah, I think one thing that I'm not seeing the past couple of games, I thought we'd be throwing a ball to Vereen coming out of the backfield more. I haven't seen that a whole lot. And one other thing I had, you know, as a tight ends are falling, getting hurt, falling by the wayside recently. I know we had some interest in Matt Lacoste, and the Giants gave him an injury settlement or something. And you think there might be some chance that they might bring him in and take another look at him going forward? I know they have to wait so many weeks before they can do that. But
I thought somebody had signed him.
Well, he was with the Jets, but I think
the Jets cut him.
On an injury settlement, they cannot sign him back for, I think it's 8 weeks.
8 weeks, yeah.
There's a specific period of time, as Jeff mentioned, Jeff, and I don't know what those specifics are. I mean, it varies from player to player, but when you reach an injury settlement, there's a number of weeks where both parties can't then rejoin.
Well, what it is that the injury is, let's just say he hurt his hamstring, the doctor's evaluation say this is a 6-week injury, you can't sign him until it's week 7. So, you know, Lance gets hurt and hurts his elbow, and the doctor says this is a 12-week injury, he's not coming back till week 13. So that's why it's different for each player. So, for instance, like a guy like Corey Washington, who I think they gave him an 8-week injury settlement. That's why the numbers are different for each player.
Yeah, I think the defense is coming along pretty well. You know, it's maybe in increments, but they seem to be doing better. And the only thing is, we got to apply more pressure to the quarterback.
There's
it
no
doesn't
pressure
necessarily have to be sacks, but we got to pressure him, but I don't know how we can do it because we can only play the guys that we have. So
yeah. It's
kind of a hard task.
Well, they got it. They have to come up with something because it's certainly not working, and it can certainly complement this defense the way they're playing now if you got a pass rush. And also, I don't think this team does a very good job right now. I mean, I know they want to, but they got to find a way to get after the quarterback through their blitzing too. I mean, you're not seeing
–
I think if one guy that's doing a good job is Kennard. And I think that sometimes when Collins comes down on his blitzes, he's active back there. Also McBride. So, you know, you're getting some good action out of the corners or the secondary on their blitzes. But, you know, you look at the way these other linebackers are blitzing, they're not getting through. And, you know, hopefully the Spagnuolo can look at that and say, listen, you know, maybe we can scheme a different way. We do it this way or do it that way. But Derek Kennard is – I mean, you look at the way this guy's playing. I mean, he's not only puts his hand in the dirt, he gets there, he's blitzing, he's knocking balls down. 2 weeks ago, he had two pass deflections. Last week, he gets an interception, which was just an athletic play out of a linebacker that weighs 255 pounds. I mean, ridiculous catch he made. And I loved his post-game interview where somebody asked him about that play, and he said he never was looking at the quarterback. He said that the receiver's eyes got big, and he saw his hands go up, and he just turned around, and there the ball was. I love that.
And he did a great job. He took the ball, essentially, away from Charles'
But,
play.
I mean, talk about reading the players. He's just reading his eyes, and he says his eyes got big. He knew the ball was coming. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe one other thing quickly. Maybe we could get Whitlock to teach the Montre Moore some of his spin moves. That might be a helpful thing.
Something, right? I mean, he's got to come up with he's got to come up with something else because what he's doing is not working. And you know what? It's a shame too because he is a speed rusher, and I don't want to compare him to Osi, but he's got the same skill set as Osi. He's got that fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets off the ball. He got an offsides penalty. You know, he gets off the ball quickly, but he just kind of I heard Carl on the radio coming in here today. He said maybe bring Osi Umenora in here to give him some of his some of his tips.
I didn't see a whole lot out of Odighizuwa yesterday either, but
well,
maybe he's just going to take some time.
Oh, absolutely. He's a young guy. They play him spotty in there, you know, so I think it's just a matter of time before he kind of gets a little experience under his belt. And it's a tough thing to come in. You know, college is so different. Yeah, and it was his first game, too. Plus, he said they had these really thick clips.
Lance, make sure you go on YouTube and look up Joe Turkey Joints.
I will certainly do that.
You'll enjoy that little video they have.
Absolutely. I appreciate the reference, Jeff.
Have a good day, guys. Thank
you.
You
as well. Have a good one.
You ever notice that everybody back in those days always had nicknames?
Yeah, apparently.
You know, Joe Turkey Jones. Wow. He must have ate a lot of turkey or he was a turkey.
Well, it's a good nickname. We may have to do some homework on that, too. I'm more interested in finding out why he was called Turkey as opposed to actually seeing the video. I agree with you.
He loved turkey.
So we may need to get into that and a whole dissertation on the rationale behind the nickname.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Derek is in Atlanta. Derek, what's happening?
Hey, Jeff. Lance, hope you're well.
Good. We're doing good.
Wanted to say I'm proud of the Giants win. You know, I'm glad that they're actually starting to look like a relevant team in the league. And, you know, I think that they're actually growing pretty good. The offense – you know, you had Harris, he has to come in here and he has to learn, you know, the system. And you got the tight ends pretty much need to get the system down. You know, I feel a little sorry for Will Ty because I'm sure he was very proud of, you know, being called up and everything and getting the opportunity. But he's probably relegated to the doghouse now for dropping the pass.
Well, it depends on the health of the other two guys. We'll see. You know, Dan Fells and Cunningham, they didn't make the trip. They were hurt, so we'll have to see what happens with those two guys. But certainly that'll tell the story, whether he goes back down from there. And, you know, the problem is that when you release a guy from active roster, you just don't automatically put him back on your own practice squad.
Correct, there's obviously intricacies.
I mean, he has to go through waivers, but I don't see any reason.
No, I'm just saying there's always – but you never know. There might be another team that needs another tight end, and, you know, the slim pickings with tight ends these days, it's always a risk.
And keep in mind, Derek, I don't know if he's on such a short leash that you're alluding to. I mean, remember, this was his first NFL regular season game. He knows the system. There's familiarity there. So, I mean, I think you got to perhaps see a bigger sample size before you jump to conclusions.
You know what?
About his upside.
It might be an issue there because I just thought about it. Once you release someone and they take off waivers, they can pick them up and do anything they want to do with them. But if they take them off your practice squad, they got to activate them for three games,
right? Yes.
So he may be in danger if they let him go. But, you know, I did want to say that I still have a little issue with the situational play calling in the game. Obviously, I joined your show late, so I'm sure people talk about the interception in the green zone. It's just that, I mean, the week before, it was a third down and 20 at the end of the game, and they blitzed six people. And I'm like, why are you blitzing on third down in this situation? You know, if third and 20, they threw a short pass and ran for 20 yards and got a first down. They extend the drive. I'm like, and all you got to do is run the ball. It's time to be aggressive, but then it's time not to be aggressive. Like, you get up in the game, and then you, as soon as you get up, you change your offense and you slow the game down and you let the other team catch up. And then once they catch up, then you put your foot back on the gas. And then you try to, you know, you go down the field again. And then, like, they had a perfect situation when you're supposed to run there. Run, kick a field goal, you have three scores, and you're within 3 minutes. And so I'm really concerned about the situation of football they're playing right now, and I'm hoping that they'll see that and, you know, try to change that.
Well, I think, you know, that sequence down there, we just went over it a little while ago, and you joined the show late, but, you know, it was the first down run. They lost a yard. It was second and 11. Incomplete pass, and now it's third and – is that what happened?
Third and eight, third it turned eight. Out to be. That was the exact – it was first and seven, then second and eight.
Okay, it's first and seven
and
because
then third
of the
eight. They lost a yard because of Rashad Jennings lost a yard on that run.
But,
the first play.
You know, it's aggressive. They're playing to win, not to lose. You know, you run the ball three times there and give the ball back to them. I know they have to, you know, whatever. But I think, you know, you could say if
but
you –
But that
if
is
you,
aggressive right there. I mean, that's –
Well –
Any time that you're, and any time the Giants are start a series inside the 10-yard line, you pretty much know they're going to punt. They're not going to take a chance on turning the ball over down there. They're going to run the ball, maybe a little screen out to the flat, whatever, but they're not going to take any chance of throwing the ball downfield. In that situation where they were going to go up three scores with 3 minutes left in the game. It's time to run the ball there and go up to your three scores and play situational football. That's what I'm saying. It's a time to be aggressive and it's a time to not.
Okay.
All right. So I want to talk about the defense for a second. And then so I think the defense is coming along really well. I like that. I like what's going on there. Their pass rush will come. When Double O, gets healthy, I think that – I'm looking at when they blitz. It's pretty much a vanilla blitz. They ran a blitz last week where they ran a double gut, you know, A-B blitz and then had the safety come behind it. I saw that in Rex Ryan game, so he must have stole that the night before. And that was successful. But everything else really I've seen blitzing from is pretty generic. Once they learn enough of the playbook and get on the same page, and they start stunning, and they start doing some other things, then I think the sacks will come. But right now, they could be 4-0 with the defense that they have, so I don't think they're really pressured to actually, you know, go all out to blitz and to get out, you know, get out their lanes, you know, pass lanes and everything. I think they're doing pretty well.
Well, and Derek, also keep in mind, you know, you're talking about the blitz, and obviously we've been focusing on, you know, trying to get the sacks up. But remember, they're not giving up big plays, which was a problem last season. And when you start to take your chances with the blitz, then all of a sudden you expose yourself to big plays. So there's that give-and-take relationship there. The good news is they're not giving up the big plays. And number two, they're stopping the run much better than they did last season. So, you know, check marks next to stopping the run, lacking of the big plays, and then obviously improvement in terms of the pass rush. But you got to be proud and happy with those other two facets, which were very up and down last season.
And like you said,
yep,
I think they'll get better. I think I do, too.
Yep.
I think through scheme and game planning, I think they can improve in that category. They're going to have to.
I just want to say before I go is that 2 weeks in a row, I won DraftKings, my little private league.
Really?
And also made a little bit of money on the side there.
That's awesome.
The
so there really
that,
are
so,
people that win money.
And Derek, and it's all because
really
of Jeff Fiegels.
Really,
Derek, it's all because of Jeff Fiegels and the players he recommended.
Was it my pick?
Let's at
any
least
of my
get that out there,
that
too.
Money on?
I don't know if any of your picks, because I'm sorry I didn't hear your picks, but
well, you could have lied
Devontae,
and told me.
Devontae Freeman is the one that's really kind of put me over the edge the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, six touchdowns in the last two games.
Yeah.
That helped.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, because DraftKings.com is one of our big sponsors here, and we promote DraftKings.com, and it's a great, you know, hey, it's DraftKings.com.
There you go. Well,
yeah,
Derek, congrats to you.
And some of the Giant fans that call into the show and to the Shake Show, they play with me in my private league. So,
yeah.
You know, good luck. You might see the link out there. Feel free to join.
Yeah, sounds good, Derek. Well, congrats on that. Appreciate
yeah.
the phone call.
Thank
and
you.
And speaking of, look at this is a perfect segue, because Derek's talking about Shake Show. And Shakes in Maryland is now standing by on the line to provide some more insight on this program. I mean, the callers, how they coordinate these things, I don't understand, but Shakes is now on the line in Maryland. Shakes, what's happening?
My team is strong, huh, Lance?
Your team
what's
is strong.
On?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, my team is strong, man. The Shakedown crew is out here.
Jakes,
I got a lot of things to say. First, I'm going to start on positive.
Well,
what's going on?
What do you got negative to say?
Start with the positive. That's fair. Okay. What do you got? Right. Start with the positive.
Just let me finish. Let me finish, Jeff.
Come on, Chase. Right. What you got?
First, let me say that I love the fact that Randall gave me a salsa in Buffalo. Like I wanted.
Good. All right. Well, you got that. He said he was going
to honor check
him, and he did, so that's good.
There you go. Now, also, I want to say Newhouse is playing very, very well. And I ate my crow on him, and I'll eat it some more because he is really playing good, and I feel like he's playing well enough that we can string Beatty along when he's back. You know, we can wait until he's fully healthy. We can have Beatty as a swing tackle until he's fully ready to go, and then he could go right back at left tackle and throw flowers at right tackle, and then we full man. So I love it. It's good sign.
Okay.
Now, this is what I wanted to say.
Is this the butt? Butt?
Yeah, this the butt. Look, but it's a good butt as well, though.
Okay, I'm
he's got a lot of predictions on the wall here.
The Bills could not stay out their own way. They beat themselves.
They did. They shot themselves in the foot
17
times.
Penalties.
And they wiped away two touchdowns. That's a fair assessment, Shakes.
Yes, sir. So, you know, but with that, we shoot ourselves in the foot all the time. So it was good to see somebody else do it and our benefit. Now, San Francisco, this is what I wanted to say about it. When we go play San Francisco, we tie for first place. We're at home. San Francisco is a team we should beat. We're more talented than them. They're going through a lot of troubles. They're still a talented team, but, because it's the NFL, everybody still gets paid. But San Francisco is a team we should beat. So if we find a way to lose this game, we're a bad team. But if we find a way to stand up and win this game, I turned my cheek on this team that we are a good team, and we could make it far if we could stay relatively healthy.
Shakes, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking over on the board over here. We got a couple Shakes things over here, and one of them says, Shakes,
a lot of
Eric Flowers will be a 2015 Pro Bowler. Do you still believe that?
No.
So wait, does that mean I take it off the wall, Shakes? Is that what I got to do?
Don't take it off the wall.
Don't take it off the wall. Okay, how about this? You want to read the other one?
Yeah, the other one is Beeson plays 12 games. Are we taking that one off?
No, we're not taking that off.
He's got a chance, right? He's got a chance. He only missed two so far.
Well, Shakes is not backing down today. I got to give him some credit. He said he's going to eat his crow. And you put some dressing on that crow, too, I hope, Shakes, right?
Yeah. Already.
That's
already.
It's tasty.
And you are not the only one eating crow on Newhouse. Trust me. There's a lot of people that were not very happy with him, and he's getting the job done. And it's interesting. I'm sure that we will get into this in a couple weeks from now when William Beatty comes back, what's going to happen with that whole thing.
But it's a good – I didn't mean to cut you off, Jeff. It's a good problem to have when you have a lot of players playing good
football.
It's
a lot like what happened a couple years ago when Deal was hurt and he came back. Remember? When they had Locklear was the
Sean Locklear.
He was
that swing guy.
So, anyways, well, Shakes, we always appreciate you calling in, my man.
All right, thank you for taking my call, y'all.
Hey, buddy, have a great week.
You got it. Appreciate the phone call. I want to get to a tweet here. Steve in D.C., who calls in all the time at NewBro1, saying that the Giants, I haven't looked up these numbers. He says they're dead last on defense and passes over 10 yards. But when they consider big plays, that's over 20 yards. And if you look at the numbers for the Giants in terms of passes over 20 yards, you know, they came in to this last game in the top 10 in that category. The specifics here that I have in front of me, because the Bills had 17 plays of 20-plus yards, which was number one
in the
NFL.
And the NFL clarifies big plays is plus 20.
Plus 20, so it doesn't mean 10-plus. If you include 10-plus, obviously teams are going to be giving up a lot more in terms of that 11-12-yard type of pass.
Those rankings would be totally obscured then.
Oh, it would change the entire narrative. The Giants entering yesterday had allowed 10 plays of 20-plus yards. That was tied for the sixth fewest in the NFL. And if you look at what they gave up yesterday, they gave up, I had two Charles Clay long passes, which were of 20-plus yards. And then I believe that there was a Carlos Williams 23-yard touchdown. So I think it was three or four total plays to add to that total. But that's still not going to move the Giants that far down compared to the rate around the rest of the league. So when you consider big plays, 20-plus, the Giants are right up there in terms of limiting those big plays.
And it goes to show you, when we watch these games where good quarterbacks and they're threatening these guys in the middle of the field, because the corners are not letting them get over the top. So these big plays are coming. They're not coming over the top. They're coming in the middle of the field. You know, they'll get a 8 or 9 yard hitch, boom, and they might get 26 there. But they have not given up that big play over the top all year.
Well,
other than the one to Julio Jones against the Atlanta
game. Prince.
You know, against Prince. So.
And that speaks volumes of gap integrity, where players are sticking to their zones and their assignments as opposed to bailing on it and taking too many risks. That's
right.
When you get into trouble.
Yep.
With that being said, do you want to go over quickly your week four decisions, or we can save it for tomorrow?
Listen,
which we normally have done it on Tuesdays, but I'll give you an opportunity to set the record
straight. No, you know what? I'd rather just keep the normal.
You want to keep the flow going?
Yeah,
all right,
I'm
so
not
John and I will cover
flow.
It on Tuesday then. That's
because
fair.
Obviously this week is not going to be fun, but I'm not going to be here to really get all of it, so that's okay.
You guys like it that way. All right.
Yeah, I mean, that way,
fair enough.
You know, if this was a good outcome, I probably would have done it today.
So I'm assuming you've looked at the answers. Oh, you weren't too fond of them.
Yeah,
see,
listen,
that's why I gave you the option.
I'm going to go ahead and apologize ahead of time for the guys that did take my advice on the fantasy last week. Not very good. Okay, but there's a lot of, just like DraftKings.com, every week's different.
There you
we
go.
Can play
you
every
bounce
week.
Back.
Okay, so we'll back.
It's
back.
A
we'll
long season,
back.
As we like to
it
say.
It is. It's a very long season.
So we will poke fun at Jeff's picks tomorrow.
Go ahead.
You can look forward to that on Big Blue Kickoff
Thanks
Live.
Thanks, everybody, for
appreciate,
calling in.
Yes, absolutely. Appreciate all the calls, all the tweets. Certainly a lot to delve into after a big victory for the Giants. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday at noon Eastern. And with that being said, we want to remind you, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code New York to play for free today. For Jeff Eagles, I'm Lance Meadow. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Have a good one.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Well, intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.